Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Coming up, our final Stanley Cup grades here on the Green Zone. Our top grades, our failing grades at 4:35. And, of course, we invite you to give us your grades as well as the Oilers head back to Edmonton to clean out their lockers without a game on Friday as the Panthers continue to celebrate for the second straight year. And to assess the damage after last night's 5-2 Panther victory, your 5-1 Panther victory, it's Drew Remenda.
In the fast lane, Kramoff, the bingo game is ready to roll.
It's time to drop the gloves.
Let him into the box. Watch the lawsuit, Ty. Watch the lawsuit.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
5-1, 5-2, 6-1. It was 3-0 in the first period of game number 4. Drew, what happened after game 2 for the Edmonton Oilers? Like, what was it? I don't get it. They were right. They actually, I think, were the better team in the first two games.
No. No, they weren't.
Yeah, they were.
You've been on this today, like, with Evan Bray. You've
six
been on
or this seven.
To start to show that they were. All of a sudden, Game 3 changed everything.
It did!
No, it didn't, Jamie. You're not giving the championship team enough credit. Bottom line is that the best team won this series by playing the way that Stuart Skinner said it after the game, maybe said this word 28 times, which was consistency. They played with consistency. Yeah. They got their game going. And when you lead a series of six games, 255 minutes of that game to the other team's 33 minutes, not one game changes it, because the next game the Oilers bounced back. They fell behind, but then they came back. It was a game where, or a series where, the best team won. And they kept playing better and better and better as each game got on, because that's what the Florida Panthers do. They play with a consistent, straight ahead, get to the puck first, get above the puck, shut down the opposition, get to the front of the net, which we talked about before game one. We talked about front of the net, how important it was. And look at Tkachuk's goal yesterday in front of the net, how important it was. Getting to the net for Reinhardt's second goal, how important that was. It was the better team won because they had the details of the game down pat.
The one thing that I will say about Jamie's comments is that there were moments in the first two games where I thought the Oilers were starting to figure out their game. And then in
we all watched game three. We all went, "What the heck was that?"
Game three, they were reacting to everything that Florida was doing, and
there's
so
the word,
yeah,
there's the word,
yeah. So
reacting,
but that was a significant change in game three. So I understand what Jamie is saying about games one and two, which could have gone either way. They could have gone the Oilers' way.
Like, to talk about the fact that you thought that the Oilers, and I hear you guys talk about, you thought the first period the Oilers were flying yesterday. I sometimes I question if you're just watching the highlights or you're watching the entire game. You're watching, you know.
I watched the whole game. I watched all these games.
But they weren't, the shots were 10-9, and the high quality chances were fairly even, and it was a 2-0 lead for the Florida Panthers. So I don't know how you guys could.
No, in the first 5-6 minutes of the first period, the Edmonton Oilers came out flying.
But what's a period? No, it wasn't. It wasn't the first 5 minutes, because they got scored on 4:36 into the period. So, no, that negates that fact right of it. The problem I have with, and we've talked about this as well, that we all get into a situation where we're very myopic. I have the great leisure and pleasure of watching two teams that I don't work for play. So I think I can be a little bit more objective when I'm watching the game than, say, Oiler fans across the street from me. But when you watch the games as they got played, Game 3 had one bearing on the series, which is Florida won it. But then the next game, the Oilers bounced back, which we also talked about that we thought they would. It was an anomaly as far as the way they played and what they were trying to do. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, the team that played better in goal, the team that played better on defense, the team that played like a team versus a bunch of individuals that you're looking for to try to carry you when times get tough, mm-hmm. a team that played and had their better players, their best players better, played better than the other team's best players, that's why they won the series.
The interesting thing, Drew, for me moving forward with a loss like this, and I think most Oiler fans would admit that that they were surprised they got back to the finals again this year. I was just based on how that whole year went. The fact that they were able to get it back to the finals again this year should, if Oiler fans are being honest with themselves, should surprise most Oiler fans. But does this loss have the capacity to tear this team apart?
Well, not being in that near that team, not being around them every day, I don't know if I can give you an honest answer about it, but I don't think so. I think at what you look at, what will happen in the summer to restock this team. It doesn't happen very often. And when the league expanded in 67, 68, the St. Louis Blues made the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years in a row. Lost twice to Montreal, lost once to Boston. But that was because they had a North and a South division where all the expansion teams were in one division. After that, about 10 years later, the Boston Bruins lost to the Montreal Canadiens 2 years in a row. Since then, that's 1977-78. Since then, the Edmonton Oilers are the team that has lost now to the same team two times in a row in back-to-back Stanley Cups. It's just an interesting thing that it doesn't happen very often. So mm-hmm. It goes to your point.
What's way more common is the team that loses wins the next year. Yeah. Like that's happened four times over the last 30 years.
Yep, exactly. And Pittsburgh, Detroit is the one that I can think of as the most recent, but maybe I'm wrong on that. But when you look at it with the Edmonton Oilers, they've got a lot. You guys were talking about it earlier. They've got a lot of, with Justin. They've got a lot of things to try to figure out. There's going to be some guys leaving, and Connor's contract is there. Bouchard's contract is there. The one thing that you've got to be concerned about if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan is that you've got very possibly four guys might be making half your salary cap. If you've got Connor, Leon, and if they overpay Bouchard, which I'm sure they're going to, because that guy has got to learn to control the puck, but he's young. He's young. He's got to learn to control the puck. He's got to learn to protect the puck. He's got to learn puck management, but they love him because he's offense. Okay. And you need goals to win games. You need to win games to make the playoffs, but in the playoffs, he was pretty damn scary, especially last night. And then you've got Darnell. So there's a very real possibility that $30 million or $50 million is going to be tied up in those four guys. And then you start to look at the Toronto Maple Leafs and you go, ooh, does that work? So that could be an issue. But I don't think, as far as your original question goes, Locker, I don't know. I don't think it will tear that team apart. They seem pretty pretty okay. Cohesive. Yeah. But it's what happens this summer. Does Stan Bowman, I was going to say Kenny Holland, does Stan Bowman go out with Jeff Jackson and make the right moves in order to stock the shelves once again, bring in some new guys to light the fire from below, because there's some guys who will definitely be exiting.
Well, apparently their current cap space went from $12 million to $8 million now because Trent Frederick is signing an eight-year extension of $4 million per year.
And you don't like that, Jamie. Not
8 years? Why are you signing Trent Frederick to eight-year deals?
Great question.
I don't understand that at all.
Great question. And $4 million. Great question. What, do I need that guy there that long? If he's a $4 million hockey player, do I really need to sign him that long?
No.
No. I'm going to find other younger, like, hey, Trent's got a role, understands how to play it, but I agree with you, Jamie. I don't get that contract.
So when you say overpay for Evan, are you thinking $10 million, $11 million for Evan Bouchard?
Yeah, I'm thinking 10. I am, because all his agent's just going to do comparables. He's going to compare him to Darnell. He's going to compare him to Jones. He's going to comparables to all other guys. The only guy you don't compare, only two guys you don't compare him to are Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar. Everybody else he's going to get compared to, and the stats will bear it out that he'll get that big of a raise.
The problem with Bouchard and Reed, we had Wilkins on last hour. The problem with the Bouchard thing is if you don't sign him, it doesn't matter what the number is. If you don't sign him, Edmonton fans and that fan base is going to go crazy. And then if you keep him, it doesn't matter what you pay him, the fans are going to go crazy. Like that's the Bouchard contract is a no-win situation. A little different than the Nurse contract, in my opinion, because I think there's more upside on Bouchard.
Drew, do you know the rules of the NHL? Could Daryl Cates like buy a general manager a new house so he get offer sheets Evan Bouchard? Like, is that above board, or
I don't know if it's above board, maybe, but he certainly has the money to do it.
I know he does. Like, can he pick a GM in Utah or something? Like, hey, you want to offer sheet Evan Bouchard? Here's a new house.
I don't know. Smith doesn't need the house. Who's the GM in Utah? I can't remember now who it is. But anyway, you could always use him. Hey, you know what? Everybody could use a nice lakefront property.
Well, like I said with Reed, it feels like this is a moment where the Oilers were the Panthers when they traded Huberto. Where it was like, No, we need a different type of player. And I look at Bouchard as the type of player they don't actually need to win a cup. They need a guy who's not going to be as soft as he was at the blue line to fight for a puck. And sometimes, like, in the behind the net in the first period, he almost allowed another goal because the Panther just came in and just took the puck away and centered the. I'm like, oh my God.
When you got.
Drives me nuts. And I'm not even an Oiler fan.
When Bouchard has open ice, he's fine.
You're not going to get that in the playoffs.
When you close in on him and you give him no time and space, he thinks he's good with the puck, and he knows he is, and then he starts making decisions. And he had the turnovers he makes too lead to big goals. That's the other Bouchard wrinkle.
Young guys do that now, and so coaches are really get on the guys. So if you look at Florida's games, Florida's game is just a simple game. Get it deep. Get to the puck first, body check, all that stuff. And if you look at a lot of young players coming in, especially because he is young, he's still very young in this game, is that they try to make a play instead of making the right play. Yeah. And usually the simple plays in those situations, especially in the playoffs, like Jamie said, there's no time, no space. The right play is usually the simple play. And at the blue line, he just bobbled it because of the pressure that Reinhart brought. But at the offensive blue line on Tkachuk's goal, he tried to make a play to Connor, and it wasn't there, and it got picked off. And those are the two areas, right? Offensive and defensive blue lines. Don't turn the puck over there.
Coming up next, we're going to wrap up after the Stanley Cup playoffs. Do you know what we have time for today?
I'm so excited.
The Alice Cooper golf story next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Okay, Drew. I'm going to be honest with you. I might not have given you enough time for this Alice Cooper story, but
this is like Christmas.
Let's get after it. Alice Cooper golf story. Drew Remenda, go.
I'm 25 years old. I'm working at Colchena Golf and Country Club in Richmond, British Columbia. I'm working for the late great Cease Ferguson, who used to be a pro at the Wascana Club. And it's Tuesday. It's Ladies' Day. I always work Ladies' Day because back in the day, I was charming and good looking as hell, and I actually liked people. So I get the ladies out like I always do. They're having a great time. And about 10 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from a gentleman, Colchana Golf and Country Club, Drew Remenda speaking. Hi, I understand you're close to the airport. Yes, sir, we are. Do you allow non-members? Yes, sir, we do. I have a friend and I. We've got a long layover. Do we come out and play golf? We'll be out there in about 15 minutes because that's all it takes to get to the airport to go to Colchana. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I said, it's ladies' day this morning, and you won't be allowed on the golf course till afternoon. He goes, ah, damn. And he goes, would it make any difference if I told you I'm Alice Cooper's road manager and Alice Cooper's coming with me? And I said, well, are you Alice Cooper's road manager and is Alice Cooper coming with you? And he went, yes. I said, ask for Drew, nobody else. Sure enough, 20 minutes later, in runs comes this cab. Out comes Alice Cooper and his road manager with their clubs. They walk in and Alice Cooper goes, I'm looking for Drew. I said, I'm Drew. Really nice to meet you. There's your cart. Go. And they went, what? I said, go now. There's the first tee. Boom. Off they go. Okay. So about 45 hours later, manager of the club comes in and goes, Drew, did I just see two men out on the golf course right now? Non-members? And I went, yes, you did. And he went, did you let them out there? I went, yes, I did. And he goes, that's a fireable offense. I said, I know that. I said, but would it make any difference if I told you that one of those men is Alice Cooper? And he says, swear to you, is one of those men Alice Cooper? I said, yes. And he went, guy dressed in black long hair? I went, yes. And he went, cool. And then he looks at me as he's walking out of the pro shop and goes, don't ever do it again. I went, okay. So years later, I'll do it real quick. Years later, Alice Cooper is playing between the periods with his band, Arizona versus San Jose in Phoenix, because Alice Cooper had a bar just right behind the old rink where they played at. I go after the second period and walk over and introduce myself to Alice Cooper because it was right in the stands. They were right in the stands like in Nashville. And I introduce myself to him and I tell him who I am. And I said, we've met before. And he goes, we have. He goes, I meet a lot of people. I said, I know. But Quilchana Golf and Country Club, Vancouver, about 1987. And he goes, Ladies Day. I said, Ladies Day.
That was worth it.
Oh, there it is. We got there.
I don't know what's more special, a Stanley Cup
Took
or that Alice
season,
Cooper story.
But we got there.
We got there, Drew. Have a,
all right, boys.
We'll talk to you ahead of free agency. How all about right, that?
All right, great.
That is Drew Remenda. It's almost time for our final grades of the NHL season. We're going to keep the grades going here on the Green Zone during the CFL season with Rider games, of
we'll
course.
Find excuses to pull out the markers. Through the course
Sunday
of the year.
School, of course, for the NFL season. But before we get to
summer
our grades,
school, you went to summer school a couple of times, no?
I didn't. No. Did you?
No, I was an honor roll student.
I'm not sure if you're telling the truth or not. We have a special guest first, back by popular demand.
Oh, this was a request.
Hi, Wheels.
Gentlemen.
No, this wasn't a request. I thought you were going to...
Nope. This Wheels wanted to come in. He had a message,
why
apparently.
Why do we need this?
I don't know. He wanted
Does
to call
anybody
in.
Anybody want this in their day?
He wanted to call in and talk about the Stanley Cup final last night. Wheels?
We have some legitimate listener requests today. This one? Not sure this was a request. Who wanted this?
What do you got, Wheels?
Well, you guys are talking about grades for this cup final, and I think Locker, for being honest, not every team has the ability to beat the Florida Panthers in the cup final. I can only think of one in the past 3 years. But when you want to talk about a culture that is being built in South Florida, we need to recognize what is going on down there. They're on the verge of a dynasty. They might already be there, and we need to give out some grades. So culture comes with character, and I want to give out three grades real quick here, you guys. I want to give...
Why don't I have control of hanging up?
I want to give an A first off to Sam Bennett, a guy who was mocked when he first came in the league because he couldn't do a chin-up. A guy who's, in his off time with his wife, they look after animals, they donate, that is their cause. And on the ice, he's got that dog in him. He is a character guy. Number two, I want to give an A to a guy that I'm shocked I'm even saying this, Brad Marchand. A guy that was the captain of the Boston Bruins and was traded for a second-round pick and asked to serve on the third line. And he did his duty. He became a team player. They call him the gel of that team. He dragged them through the playoffs. And the final person that I want to give an A, and this is going to be an A-plus to when it comes to character.
Oh, I found it.
Is a guy that I...
Oh, Glocker! I know where he's going, so it took me a minute to figure out how to hang up on him, but I did. You know exactly where he's going.
Locker.
You know exactly where he's going.
Don't treat our callers like that. He called in. I want to know.
No regrets.
Wheels, call back.
No
call
regrets. Back. No regrets.
Call back, Wheels.
No
I want to hear what his A-plus grade was. I didn't know where
we
he was going.
You know where he's going.
What was his A-plus grade?
I'll give you three guesses. Your first two are wrong.
Paul Maurice.
No. He's trolling.
Hmm?
What do you mean?
He's trolling. Number 19.
Okay.
I can do this with the keyboard.
So sorry, Wheels. Go ahead. What was your A-plus grade?
Sorry, I had a bad connection there for a second. The final A grade, and I want to give this an A-plus grade when it comes to culture and character. And this is a guy who I think a lot of people see and want to raise their
Don't
kids. Like,
do it!
It is Matthew...
No, you can finish your thought. You can finish. Matthew, sorry you missed that. Matthew,
we already know who... I knew this was where he was going.
Matthew who?
Matthew Tkachuk, a guy who played...
Unbelievable.
A tendon ripped off of his bone. A guy who walked into that dressing room and set a culture of winning. A guy who leads by example. Servant leadership was the key of that team, and I just got to say, there are people out.
What do you have against Matthew Tkachuk?
Oh, worst human being ever. The worst. Worst human being ever. Him and his entire family. Ugh.
He's way more classy than...
Oh.
Let's get to our failing grade, because my failing grade has everything to do with Matthew Tkachuk last night.
That's where the initial penalty was called. Now he skates all the way over.
Oh, that's a pretty good whack there.
I would imagine he could get fined for that as well.
I'd rather have Matthew Tkachuk on my team than that you-know-what. Evander Kane last night, my failing grade. And then he doesn't have the class to come back out for the handshake line either. Pound sand, go away. The Edmonton Oilers shouldn't want you anymore. Please, no more Evander Kane. That guy is straight trash. If you want to talk about Matthew Tkachuk, that guy right there is the dumbest, most undisciplined human being in the NHL.
I don't disagree with you. I would be surprised if he's back. But I have a theory on why he didn't come out.
Give me Matthew Tkachuk 100 times over one Evander Kane.
I have a theory on why. I think they were worried he was going to punch Matthew Tkachuk in the lineup.
Yeah, because he's a classless.
I think that, and I swear I'm not making that up. I truly believe they kept him in the dressing room because he was threatening to go after him.
It was unnecessary.
There was a lot of conversation. People that know players on the two teams.
Well, James Duffy talked about this.
This was one of the worst trash talk, and there was nothing. Like, they got.
And apparently, Evander Kane was full throttle into it as well.
Absolutely. I'm not defending Evander Kane. You have every right to give him your failing grade as well.
Failing grade goes to Evander Kane last night.
He cost that team a couple of goals with his penalties, especially in his play in this finals. Anyway, can I move on to my failing grade, or are we putting wheels back on?
Oh, we'll see.
Okay. I have multiple failing grades. I'm going to start with the companies, and there's a few of them this year that released campaigns about bringing the cup back to Canada. Every time I saw it, I was like, what are you guys doing?
You think this doesn't, my goodness.
These are my failing grades. Let me continue. As a consolation, I think Canadians should get something from free for all the mistakes that they were making during the playoffs. They were running ads while the Oilers were losing 4-0 about the cup coming back to Canada. I'm also still bothered by the fact that our boss had his voice at Game 7 watch party promo yesterday for the Green Zone. Also, a failing grade, the NHL needs to fix the officiating in the playoffs. Now, listen, I will say this out loud. This is the caveat. I don't think that officiating played a part in the Edmonton's loss in this Stanley Cup Finals. It didn't. It did not. I want to say that out loud. But it is so frustrating to watch the regular season where a penalty is a penalty, then watch the playoffs where a penalty is a penalty in the first period, then maybe in the second. Then it's not in the third. They've got to sort that out.
Definitely not in overtime.
Well, exactly. And I understand they don't want to decide. They want the players to decide it on the ice. But a penalty is a penalty. Call the penalties. What you're going to end up having is you're going to have, because it's a copycat league, all the teams are going to do exactly what the Panthers are doing. They're just going to put a bunch of like dirty players that get away with stuff and find ways of getting away with stuff, and you're never going to have a skilled team actually win a Stanley Cup, right?
I think the Florida Panthers are a pretty skilled team.
Okay, there's, anyway.
Did you see that goal by Sam Reinhart?
Listen. Okay, and I want to end with this. I am giving a failing grade to Panther fans. Normally, I would not take it out on a fan base. If you choose to, that's your business, whoever you choose to. I respect that. But last night in particular, I have a problem with this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Stanley Cup!
The Stanley Cup,
listen,
is the most iconic trophy in sports and the most difficult to win. Alexander Barkov, let's do it again.
No booing! What are you doing?
When Bettman steps out on the ice, you boo. There's no cheering. That's the way this happens. This has been going on forever. Bettman gets booed. I'm failing the Florida Panthers. I will say this, though. Florida Panthers know how to party. They are still partying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Barkov was going around his neighborhood ringing doorbells at 5 a.m. There are Ring Cam videos coming out now on social media. Green Zone SK, you can see one of them where Barkov's at the door with the Stanley Cup. Want a coffee? Want a coffee in the cup? Are you coming out? Yeah, we'll be right down as they quickly get their sweatpants on. 5 a.m. in his neighborhood. Anybody? Yep.
Hey, we got the cup. You coming out to party with us?
Can you imagine waking up to that? Someone's at the door. Who's at the door? 5 a.m. Get the gun. It's Florida. And then you're like, wait, who is it?
It's Barkov.
Do they have the Stanley Cup? Doesn't Alex Barkov live down the street? Oh, my God, it's Alexander Barkov. Put away the gun. Let's go for coffee.
He's like, still dressed in his suit. His post-game suit. He's got a ball cap on. Very funny video. All right. What's your top grade?
No. I have another failing grade.
All right.
You.
You've been doing that a lot lately.
You. This man who wouldn't wear jerseys, who believes voicing a promo has an impact, who does all these things thinking some way karma's going to work, goes to Dairy Queen last night during the game. Dairy Queen, the place synonymous with the Florida Panthers and their winning streaks. Come on, Locker.
My wife wanted a blizzard.
No!
You're telling me your lovely wife says, hey, I'd like a blizzard.
I would go because I don't have these crazy superstitions about everything. I can't believe you're like, can we go to Milky Way instead or something like that? But no.
My wife wanted a blizzard. I got in the car in between the second and third period.
You should believe it's your fault.
A blizzard when they were already, it was already a lost cause.
Can't believe it. Can't believe it.
She asked me during the first and second intermission, and I said no.
You go to Dairy Queen. Okay.
I deserve that failing grade.
My top grade.
The rematch. Will it be a Panthers repeat or Oilers revenge? Scores! Leon Draisaitl, game one hero.
My top grade goes to the montage at the end of the Stanley Cup final last night. They do it every year. It goes back to the CBC Hockey Night in Canada. Plus, Smashing Pumpkins, that song choice, perfect. They had it all. They had the moments with, of course, Gabriel Landeskog and his kids and his comeback and his goal and Nathan MacKinnon on the bench with him to the just devastation of the Mark Scheifele losing his dad during that and then scoring a goal. And then they had that moment with Peter DeBoer saying your dad would be so proud of you. The whole thing.
This is a really good playoffs this year.
Oh.
Great tournaments.
You can watch the montage at Green Zone SK is where you can find that.
Yeah,
what gets your top grade?
Go check that out. I watched that this morning after Jamie mentioned that because I had to turn off the TV when Tkachuk came on last night, so I missed it. My top grade goes to Connor McDavid, but hold on. There's a caveat. Angry Connor McDavid.
You know, we kept trying the same thing over and over again, just banging our heads against the wall. So,
yes!
Credit to them.
Last year, he was emotional.
He was bawling his eyes out last year.
This year, he was angry. I like angry Connor McDavid. I hope he stays angry all year long. Edmonton Oilers will be back in the Stanley Cup Finals next year.
Okay, what are your grades? Passes? Fails? Let us know. 1-877-332-8255. We'll get to you next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Your top grades. I'm getting failing grades for letting Wheels on for some reason. I thought that was funny.
I thought Wheels was tremendous. I didn't hate that.
His little dig at the one team that beat the Panthers in the Stanley Cup, which was Vegas.
I knew he was going to come. He came into the Green Zone Lounge today, sat down across from me,
and was doing everything he could to wind me up.
I still can't believe you got Dairy Queen today or yesterday. I can't believe it.
It was between the second and third. I'm telling you.
Oh, so you'd already given up on the Edmonton Oilers, so you just...
Pretty much. I needed a break from yelling at the TV.
You thought you'd honor the Panthers.
No, it was my wife's call.